Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And cue the cannons.
And this, of course, is the Boston Pops performing Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, the jubilant climax to every 4th of July celebration on the Esplanade.
But wait a minute. Tchaikovsky was commemorating Napoleon's retreat from Russia. So why is this music synonymous with American independence? Well, to find out the answer, we are going straight to the source. Keith Lockhart, conductor of the Boston Pops for the past 20 years. He joins us now. And Keith Lockhart, thank you so much. I know you've got a lot to do to prepare for Saturday night's concert, but we appreciate your time.
Well, we do have a few things going on right now, but it's great to talk to you guys, and happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you. Okay, so the Pops have been performing the 1812 Overture since 1974 with the fireworks. But Maestro Lockhart, we are in the cradle of independence. Shouldn't the music be more 1776 rather than 1812? How did this happen?
It's funny, actually. We have created a tradition that has really spread around this country. I mean, we're not the only people who perform the 1812 Overture on Independence Day these days. It dates back to 74, and I wasn't around here yet at that point. But my understanding of the situation was that local businessman David Mugar was talking to Arthur Fiedler about a brand new concept to have a huge celebratory concert on the Esplanade complete with fireworks. And he wanted a finale for the concert, and he said to Arthur, he said, what's that piece that has all the cannons and bells at the end of it? And Fiedler said, well, that's the 1812 Overture. And Mugar apparently said, I want that one. And, so as a result, and it took. Everybody went crazy about it. Everybody, I think, assumed that it had something to do with the American War of 1812. As you know, it has to do with a completely different War of 1812
right.
on the other side of the world. But, you know, the piece contains Tsarist hymns and La Marseillaise to show the retreating French. but outside of that, it's perfectly apt. I have to say, you know, traditions are what you make of them, and this is a country of assimilation, and we've assimilated the history and culture of a completely different country and made it our own.
Oh, so in a very American tradition, as you're saying. I mean, I believe I heard that Arthur Fiedler, when he heard David Mugar's suggestion, he smiled and said, "Sounds great. Just let all hell break loose at the end."
Well, that's pretty much what that piece does. And obviously, the sense of space and location out on the Esplanade, being able to ring the church bells in the vicinity and having the cannons booming over the Charles, really makes a lot of sense. It's a great ending. It's a great celebratory ending. And I think at this point, the origins of the piece have less to do with it than the impact it has on audiences today.
Now, why do you think other orchestras around the country followed the Pops' lead after those first couple performances in 74, 75, 76?
Well, I think people heard it around the country on the Bicentennial Concert in 1976.
Of course.
And frankly, I think everybody thought it was a really good idea.
Because, I mean, the music is very jubilant. It's very celebratory. Can you tell me what it's like for you standing before the Pops, guiding the orchestra through this as the fireworks are going off?
Well, it's very exciting. To tell you the truth, we can't see the fireworks. The fireworks happen behind the hat
right.
shell, so which is just as good because we have enough distraction, just as well we have enough distractions as it is. But it is very exciting because it is kind of the 11th hour moment of the concert, and things are really winding up, and you can sense the anticipation of the audience. They clap at the point that they know that the cannons are going to come in soon, and you know, everybody is geared up for a good time, and we're just happy to be giving it to them. It's a tradition that really doesn't get old.
And what do you love about the piece musically?
I think my favorite part of the piece musically is the opening, which is very beautiful, a setting for basically the violas and the cellos of a hymn from the Russian Orthodox tradition that asked God to protect and look over the royal family, which, as I said, makes it even more incongruous if you
does.
Know that, but it's very beautiful.
Mm. Well, so as we said a little earlier, you're in the midst of preparing for Saturday night's program. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're likely to hear and see?
Well, in addition to, of course, 1812 Overture and the Stars and Stripes Forever, we've got some great patriotic moments brought to us by the USO show troupe. We have American Idol star Melinda Doolittle coming and singing some really great Aretha Franklin and Tina Turner hits. We have Michael Cavanaugh, star of Broadway's Billy Joel's Moving Out, singing some Billy Joel classics and singing some other things that I think the audience is just absolutely going to love. The Sons of Serendip locally are joining us for a number, and you know, it's just, I think it's a great program with a lot of different looks in it, which is really what we try to do when we have such a wide demographic at a single concert.
It sounds like it's going to be great. Before I let you go, though, you know, I still am in my mind wrestling with the incongruity of the 1812 Overture and the 4th of July. Do you think you ever might have, I don't know, the chutzpah to suggest that the Pops do something different?
I would never be the first one to suggest that. I can give you an address and you can mail your suggestion.
Well, I won't be the one to mess with tradition, as incongruous as it might be. Keith Lockhart is the longtime conductor of the Boston Pops Orchestra, 20 years as maestro. Mr. Lockhart, thank you so very much, and good luck on Saturday night.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Bye now.